Now we come to our eighth in this series on Bespeak Thou the Things Which Become Sound Doctrine, and our 13th message overall in preaching from Titus. Titus chapter number 2, verse number 1, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Paul is commanding his young preacher Titus to go to Crete and to preach those things that become sound doctrine, those things that are healthy, those things that will help the church. Let me just say to you that doctrine does not divide, doctrine unites. Now you hear people say, "Well, doctrine divides." No, sir. And I just want to say this to you. I'm saved. Number one, I'm a Christian. Number two, I'm an independent Baptist. Now let me say about that. Baptists ain't going to take me to heaven. But I want to say to you, I'm identified with the Baptist, the independent Baptist, because I believe that they are right. I'm not a Protestant. I didn't protest anything. I believe that we are the original ones traced back from Paul. Now wait a minute. If you're not a Baptist, I'm not mad at you, okay? That don't mean that you're not going to heaven. There's going to be some other folk in heaven besides Baptists. But I want to say to you that in our churches as a whole, we need sound doctrine. It does matter what you believe and what I believe. It matters. It matters. Doctrine matters. And you either do the church work God's way, or it don't get done. And there's a lot of stuff not getting done in our day and time because preachers just simply, people and church people just ain't doing it by the Bible. You see. Now, our Heavenly Father, will you help us as we study today in these doctrines? In Jesus' name, amen. I promise you, any of the doctrines I'm going to give you will not hurt you. Now, I come today in my study on these doctrines. I come to my eighth message, but I come to a doctrine here. I come to the 14th doctrine that I want to give you today. And I want to talk about, first of all, and we'll see how many of these doctrines we can get through today. But I want to talk about the doctrine of chastising. The doctrine of chastisement. Now, many people say that, well, we're under grace. We can just live any way we want to live. Well, that's not what the Bible says at all. Now, other people say, well, we can get it and we can lose it. Well, no, that's not what the Bible says either. You see, we must rightly divide the Word of God. Now, God gives you a free choice to be saved, all right? You have that choice. You have the freedom to be saved. But after you get saved, you will not live any way you please. Now, let me tell you why. You may try to choose the devil's route, but if you're a born-again Christian, you will have chastisement upon you. Now, I'll tell you something. In the last 10 years, and I guess I've not listened to enough preaching, but in the last 10 years, I could count on my hands and fingers the sermons that men have preached about the chastening of God. You don't hear that in the churches anymore. And I'll tell you why you don't hear it. Because men put everything, they just say, well, disease, come on, people, and you know, it's just the way it is. No. Did you know a lot of it according to 1 Corinthians 11? And that's not, and I believe you can use an application there. It's not just the Lord's Supper, although that's what Paul was talking about. "For this cause many are sick among you, and some sleep." God will bury you 6 feet under if you don't do what you're supposed to do. You're not going to, let me tell you what, you're a son. Now, God don't raise His children like some people raise theirs today. God don't count to 300 times, and God will chasten you. And I want to tell you that you will receive chastening of God. Now let me go to Hebrews, and I'm in the Bible now. I'm preaching the Word of God to you, and I love you. I'm trying to preach in love. But Hebrews chapter number 12, and I want to begin here at Hebrews chapter number 12, and I want to preach to you and talk to you about the doctrine of chastisement. This is a sound doctrine. This is a doctrine that will help you. This is a doctrine that will help your church. All right. This is a doctrine that will help people live right and put it in perspective how people ought to live. Amen. You don't just get saved to get, I'll give you an illustration. You don't bring a child in the world and just turn him loose and say, well, Johnny, do whatever you want to do. At 5 years old, he goes out and gets drunk. He shoots tires off the car. No, you don't do that. And no more does God do it. Now, Hebrews 12 and verse number 5. The Bible says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Now, we'll get to this a little bit later, but God does chastening in at least two ways. Sometimes God just rebukes us. He warns us through the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. And then if that don't work, then God brings out the chastening rod. And that could be a number of things that God does. Now, we're not to despise that when it happens. You know, we're not to get bitter at God when God chastens us over something. You know, people are rebellious. And I tell you, one of the biggest sins in our churches today is the sin of rebellion. Well, I just ain't going to do that. We'll just see if I do that. I don't have to do what the Bible says. I don't have to do what that preacher says. Let me say this to you. If the preacher's in the Word of God, you better listen to him. Now, if he's outside the Word of God, you don't have to listen to him. But any preacher that's inside the realms of the Bible, you better listen to that man. Amen. If he's in the Bible. Amen. And you won't have to listen to him long. You can tell whether he's in the Bible or not. Amen. All right. So now we go to verse number 6. The Bible said, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Now, wait a minute. Here's the key to chastising. For whom the Lord loveth. You see, the love of God brings God to correct his children. God does it because he loves you. Now, listen. God's not some mean God upstairs sitting there waiting on you to make a mistake so he can zap you. Look, my friend, he's God above, and we're on earth beneath. God could kill the whole human race with one thought. He wouldn't have to say anything. He could just think it, and we'd be blown into out yonder somewhere, amen, into a million zillion pieces. But God's not like that. God loves you. The Bible said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Now, as a sinner, God loves you. As a saint, God loves you. And God does not want the children of God acting like the world's young'uns today. Now, I'll say this. God does it because he loves you. All right, now let's move on. Let's move on to verse number, verse number 7. The Bible said, "If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" Now, if you have chastening in your life, that's just proof that you're saved. That's proof that you're saved. Amen. Now, let me say this to you. He said, "What son is he let me just go back and read the last part of verse number seven. The Bible said, "What son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Now, let me stop right there. What kind of boy, what kind of girl would your kid be if you never corrected them? And of course, we see that in society today. The government and the school and the educated crowd and I'm not against education. Please don't make me say that. I mean, but I'm talking about some that's educated beyond their intelligence. And they have learned a better way than correcting children. Well, you know, you got to make them feel important and you got to do that. I'm going to tell you something. You're going to raise a spoiled child like that. The Bible said even a child is known by his doings. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you can live any way you want to live and get by with anything you want to get by with, you better check up and see if you're saved. I'm not on the radio trying to make people doubt their salvation, but I want to tell you, a lot of people that say they're saved are not saved. If you can get by with going to church one time a week, you better check up and see if you're saved or not. Amen? You say, "Preacher, I've just got so much to do." Well, if you can get by with it, without God correcting you, without God chastening you. And I mean, preachers used to preach on this. Preachers used to tell stories of men that have been chastened. And by the way, we've all been chastened by God. But I tell you, you keep on, and God will be forced to do something. Because I'll tell you why. You're God's child. You have the Holy Spirit living within you. You have the Holy Spirit seal upon your soul. Now, you're sealed by God. You're God's, amen? I mean, when the devil looks over there, he sees you as God's child. And I believe this, Satan is an accuser of the brethren. I believe the devil, every time we get weak on God, every time we fail to pray, every time we fail to go to church, every time we fail to read our Bible, I believe the devil accuses us to God. Said, "Look, God, look over there at Jim. Why, he don't even think enough of you to pray today. Why, God, look over that Susie. She ain't in church today. Why, God, look over that the Jones family. They're down here at the ball game. They're not at church. And you say, does the devil do? Oh, he does all the time, continually. He accuses the brethren before God. He picks out our weak points. Now, listen, anybody that will tell you there's not a devil, and we'll deal with him later, you just don't know much about your Bible. Brother, there is a devil. There is a devil, and there's a warfare that goes on today. Amen. But there is chastisement when we do not do what we're supposed to do. Now, verse number 8 is a strong verse. Verse number 8 is very strong. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, talking about all the saved people are partakers, the Bible said, then are ye bastards and not sons. Now, that word bastard is not a curse word. It means a child without a father. And God said, you're not my child if you're not chastised. My kid's not going to behave that way. So if you have never experienced chastening of God, you say, preacher, I'm just out of church. Don't bother me. You're probably not saved. I'm not judging you. I'm just telling you, you better check your life. You say, preacher, I've not read my Bible in 32 years. Well, but you say you're saved. You better check your Bible. You see, God chastens those. Now let me give you some instances in the Bible. All the way through the Bible, God is full of God's chastisement. Adam was believed in God. And Adam, God made him. Adam believed in God. But Adam and Eve were chastised because of their sin. Both of them committed sin. Both of them ate of a fruit, a literal fruit, off a literal tree. Let's put it where it was. And both of them ate of that, and they were chastised. They lost their fellowship with God. Death was passed upon them. They lost a son. I mean, when they had to go bury Abel, it was because of sin. You see, they had sorrow upon sorrow because of sin. Let me tell you, sin will bring you sorrow. Sin brings nothing but sorrow. And I've told you the story before. It was a terrible thing. When I was a young boy, I had heard of this man. I didn't know him personally, but I'd heard of him. What a great Christian that he was. And this man owned a Christian business. He made all kinds of money. I mean, he was in church. He was on fire for God. And one day I heard about this man, how he had gotten out of church and he'd gotten into sin. And I'd seen the man a time or two, and me and my brother, he'd be where he was, like we'd sing in churches, whatever, we'd meet this man. And I didn't know him personally. Well, later in years, I joined the church that he was out of. And one day, that man showed up at our church. And I will never forget this. That man was dying with a dreadful disease. He showed up down there one Wednesday night in the prayer room. And boy, everybody treated him nice. He was real friendly. And so that night at church, the last time, as far as I know, the man ever went to church, he got up in church and he said, I want to apologize for all the years that I have wasted and the years that I have sinned. Now his life is gone. His body is riddled with pain and disease. And it wasn't too many weeks later we was at the funeral home visiting that man. Listen, what a waste. What a waste. Now, when that man stands before God, I believe that man's lost all of his rewards. I believe he lost all that stuff that he did. Man, he had a good business. He had good money. No doubt he gave to the work of Christ. You say, preacher, I just don't believe what you're saying. Well, read your Bible. God said, if you be without chastisement, you're bastards and not sons. God said, in other words, if you can get by with anything you want to, you're not saved. That's what God said. Now, you take this crowd that says, you knock on their door, I'd like to invite you to church. Oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, is that right? Well, do you go to church? Well, I hadn't been in 20 years. We just have a little thing here at home. No. If you love God, you'll be at the house of God with God's people. And I tell you this, God chastises over little things, amen? Did you know God will get you for not paying your tithes? Did you know? And I want to say this kindly because some people don't know this. But you know tithes and offerings go to the local church. Now, you say, preacher, I don't agree with what they do over there at the local church. Well, it ain't none of your business. I give my money. They can pay the power bill or buy bubble gum with it. That is their business, not mine, when I put that money in there. Wait a minute. Now, you can give an offering to the radio ministry here, but I discourage people from sending me their tithe. The tithe goes to the local church. And God has blessed me down through the years for not taking people's tithes or at least telling them about it. Some folk just mail you stuff sometimes, and you think, man, I wish they wouldn't do that. And so you try not, you don't want people's tithes. And so, when I get a chance, if I can, I always explain to them tithes. If I can, I explain to them tithes go to the local church. Tithes and offerings, 10% of what you make goes to the local church. Now, you may not even realize that you're being judged. You see, friend, if you're saved and you're born again and you don't give at least 10% of what you make to the church, you're under a curse. Now, you'll say, well, preacher, curses were in the Old Testament. Let me say this to you, that God is still, you're still under judgment even in the New Testament. God said that you ought to tithe even in the New Testament. Tithing is not under the law. Tithing was before the law, and tithing was in the New Testament. That principle's all the way through the Bible. Now, let me say this to you. God will judge you. I believe God will judge you for the deeds you do. I believe the reason some folk are no more blessed of God are because of the underhanded, dirty deeds that they do. Now, some men's sins, they go before him. But some men's sins, they're going to go to judgment. In other words, there's going to be some people in this world, and they're going to get by with some of this dirty dealing and backstabbing and all that. But there's going to come a day, and it's called the judgment seat of Christ. And there's going to come a day that God is going to roll back the curtain. And all this unconfessed stuff, it ain't going to send the man to hell, but you're going to stand there as a saved, born-again believer, and God's going to judge you for the deeds done in your body. It ain't how many people you... I mean, yes, you're going to get a reward for how many people you preach to, preacher. But you're also going to get a dishonor for any dirty dealings or anything. You know, I know a lot of preachers. Preachers don't like this. They don't like me to say this. But I know a lot of preachers that use people. They never call you unless they want something from you. Now, I'll tell you something, brother. Listen, I can't call people all the time. I have in my phone, it's untelling how many contacts of people I have in my phone. There's no way in the heaven that I can call everybody all at one time. There's no way I can keep up with everybody. I don't run in a certain clique or a certain group of people. I try to be friends with everybody. I've got a big ministry. I have people text me a lot. I had a dear brother text me just this morning before I came in the record room and said, pray for him. Now listen, you know what I did? I stopped and bowed my head and got on my knees and prayed for the brother. Now, so I can't keep it there, but I want to say this to you. I don't want to just call folk when I need them. I want them to know that I love them. Sometimes I will text preachers, and it's not a chain text. If you're a man of God and you ever get a text from me, it's personal. And sometimes I'll text preachers and just pray a prayer for them. Or sometimes God will tell me to text a preacher and tell him I'm praying for him. I want to be an encouragement to that preacher. Amen. But all this dirty, all this stuff, all this church problems. A church ought to be a peaceful place. It ought to be a place where you raise your children in peace. It ought to be a place where they learn about God, not learn about the devil. Amen. Not learn about the evilness and the wickedness. Why, some of the most wicked people you can find sitting on the church pew. Do you know that? Why, they're going to run the show, man. I mean, you know. But I tell you, all that will be taken care of. Amen. But we do experience chastening. Now, let me see, where did I get to? Let's read verse number 9. The Bible said, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which the Bible said, corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Now, our fathers corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Let me tell you what chastening's all about, so that you will fear God. Somebody said, you don't have to be afraid of God. Sir, you're being foolish. You're being very foolish. Listen, if you get up in your church and preach that, now let me say this, God's not in heaven with a big old stick waiting on me to sin so he can zap me out. But let me tell you, there still better be a fear of God. You better fear God's book, God's man, God's day. You better fear God. I fear God today. I'm afraid of God. And by the way, I stand in awe of God. I don't go to God and swear and cuss and demand what I want from him. And I tell you right now, amen, some fellow wrote a book and he said, you can just get down and swear at God. And I think he even said, you can cuss at God. And what a blasphemous book. Let me tell you something, brother. You better not go to God demanding anything. I tell you what your rights are. Your rights, you ought to be in hell with your back broke and your tongue cut out. That's what we ought to be today. We deserve hell. We're a bunch of sinners. But God died for us and delivered us from that. And we're saved by the grace of God. And God expects me to act like the child of God. I ought to do like a child of God. I ought to talk like a child of God. Boy, the devil don't like this. So he decides he'll bother my throat a little bit. Amen. I ought to talk like a child of God. Amen. I ought to dress like a child of God. That's right. You don't hear much said about that anymore. Well, brother, you ought not come to church just wearing anything you want to wear. Well, I don't ask you a question. If Jesus was going to preach at your church, would you come in dressed the way you do on Sunday? I'm God's child. Did you know clothes used to identify a man with where he was? If you're a soldier, that uniform identifies you. If you're a police officer, that uniform identifies you. Why now, people, even our preachers have this dress-down mentality. Well, you know, we don't want to dress down. Why do you want to act like the world? Why in the world did a man of God ought to dress like a man of God? Amen. When I'm in the pulpit, you're going to see me dressed like a man of God. Why? Because the world is looking. I'm never going to win the world looking like them, friend. You say, well, preacher, we sure don't hear much of that preached anymore. No, we don't. But anyway, there ought to be a reverence, a fear of God. There ought to be a fear. I feared my daddy. Now, I loved him, but I feared him. And my daddy was good to me. But I tell you one thing, buddy. If you did something wrong and daddy kept warning you, you'd get a whipping. I remember one time, I've told you the story on the radio many times. Yeah, I think it had to be springtime or summertime, and my uncle came down to the house, and daddy and mama and all of them were standing out there talking, and there was a rose bush in the yard. And I got to break in that rose bush. I don't remember if my brother was helping me or not. And daddy said, hey, quit breaking that rose bush. I just kept on breaking that rose bush. And you know what my daddy didn't tell me? And he started toward me. And I said, it is time for me to do. And then I had a revelation. I had a thought that I'd never had before. It just came to me, why, I will run. I don't know if I thought I could outrun him. Well, son, I took out in high gear. Amen. I mean, man, I was like, I took out in high gear. Amen. I was like Richard Petty at Daytona. Boy, I mean, I was going wide open, buddy. But you know, I forgot something. In my little bitty mind, I forgot my daddy's legs was longer than mine. And we come around and ask, my daddy didn't know the Bible. I mean, he knew it, but he didn't know it like you ought to know it. And he didn't know you wasn't supposed to whip with a belt. By the way, you know, you correct children with a hickory switch, amen, with a rod, with a switch in the Bible. Not a belt, not a paddle. Amen. I just blew some of your theology there, but read your Bible. Read your Bible. If you're going to do it right. Amen. Do it right. Do it by the Bible. And anyway, my daddy, I heard that belt coming through them loops on his britches. He caught me around the back of the house down there around the oil barrel. And I'm going to stop right there with this story, and I'm going to leave it to your imagination about what happened next. But I'll tell you one thing, brother. It made a better person out of me. Amen. I don't go around breaking rose bushes. Amen. I tell you, brother, you know the children of Israel, they sacrificed to idols. And some of them would get right with God, and then they'd go back and they'd have one king would do right and one king would do wrong. And finally it destroyed the whole nation. And by the way, America's going to be the same way. You have one party pulling us to the left, then another party will get in power and they'll pull us to the right. Brother, let me tell you something. You take a car down the highway and you keep jerking that wheel to the left and jerking that wheel to the right, that car's going to wreck one day. Our nation will crash doing that one of these days. It really will. It's going to crash. But anyway, that's a whole subject for another message. But what I'm talking about is a chastening of God. Now I want to preach it in love and to tell you that God loves you. God don't sit up in heaven wanting to chasten you. Verse number 9 says, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. Paul's daddy corrected him. And we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Amen. The wage of sin is death, but God wants us to live. Now verse number 10 says this. Talking about our fleshly fathers. For they verily, for a few days, chastened us after their own pleasure. But he, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, wait a minute. God's got a purpose for chastising. God don't just sit up there and, oh, well, old Sam did wrong. Joseph didn't pay his tithes today. Why, Joni didn't pay her tithes today. I'm going to beat the fire out of them. God don't like that. God wants us to be holy. God chastens us that we live a whole. The preacher, I'm just not living where I need to be. When you going to get where you need to be? When God buries half your family? When your children turn out to be outlaws and get in jail? Amen. Why, you come crying down the church, I want y'all to pray for my kid. He's in jail. Well, what'd you do to help him growing up? We took him to church. Yeah, one time a week, and then you was at the ball field the rest of the time. Now, I love you. I'm not being mean. I don't come on the radio and be mean to you. But I'm just saying the reason for the chastening, God wants a holy vessel. You see, Philippians chapter number 1 says it. He's still working on me. My brother, God's working on me and you, and He wants us. Listen, we need to be children of God in holiness. Now, we're not going to do everything right. We're not going to be sinless perfection. But Paul told Titus, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Brother, chastisement is sound doctrine. You don't hear preachers preach on this anymore. I guess they're afraid they'll upset somebody. I don't know. But God said for me to preach on it. I have to preach what God tells me. I told an older friend of mine, preacher, I said, you know, maybe I need to back off in my preaching. Maybe I'm just too blunt. You know what that man looked at me and said? Why? Why, brother, why? Amen? Why back down now? Amen? I mean, listen, my friend, hey, let me say this to you. Hey, we can't back down on the things of God. Amen? I mean, let me tell you this, that God, amen, is in heaven, and glory to God. We want to go forward. Amen. It's the time to, in love, try to enlighten folk. Amen. So that we live a life for God. We need to live a life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me say this to you. God wants us to be not holier than thou, but God wants us to be holy people. Amen. We need to be partakers of His holiness. God is a holy God. When you get to heaven, everything's going to be holy. Now, you hear a lot of these songs, I'm going to get to heaven and shout around all over on God's promised land with my crown on and all this and that and other thing. Listen, if you read Revelation 4, it'll tell you you're going to be casting that crown at Jesus' feet. And there's seraphims there, and they're crying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Amen. I want you to understand that, my friend. Amen. I mean, listen, heaven is a holy place for holy people. Amen. And God wants us. Now, we'll never be perfect in this flesh, but God chastises. Verse number 11 of Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible said, now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. You know what the purpose of chastening is? To get you to do right. The purpose of chastisement is to get you to do right unto them which are exercised thereby. Now, God's chastising is to get you to live the way He wants you to. God wants His kids, His youngins, His children to behave in the right way. God wants you to behave right. It's just like a bunch of children, amen? You want them to behave. God wants His children to behave. And we all stray. We all do things that's wrong. My brother, I see it every day. I believe it's Paul said, old wretched man that I am. About the time we get to thinking we're going good, we ain't going so good. Amen. I mean, friend, you listen to me. Many times we think, oh man, we're really doing great. Well, you know, when we stop and realize it, we're not doing all that great. Amen. We're God's children, and we fail, we make mistakes, and yet God chastens us. And I tell you again, if you're a born-again believer, God will chasten you. And here's what God told the church of Laodicea. And I'm not going to argue with you about that church. I believe that it was a saved church. I don't think God has lost churches. Amen. But in chapter number 3 of verse number 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. God don't chasten the devil's children. And God wants you to repent. God wants you to repent. What is the purpose of chastisement? So that you will repent to God. So that you turn around. So today, I might be talking to somebody today and you're not living the kind of life you need to live. Well, let me tell you that first of all, that Jesus loves you. By the way, Jesus accepts failures. John Mark was a failure in the Bible. He went not to the work with at Pamphylia. He had the privilege and opportunity of working under the great apostle Paul. And yet he squandered that. He wasted that opportunity. And so then Barnabas wanted to take him again. Paul thought it not good. Later, Mark got right with God. And Paul said, bring him, he's profitable to me. And Mark wrote the gospel of Mark. Mark was a great man later. Mark failed. He had some failure in his life. Peter had some failure in his life. He denied God. Jonah had some failure in his life. He said, I'm not going to go preach, but God used him. David had some failure in his life when he committed adultery with Bathsheba and when he killed a man, but God used him to write many of our Psalms. Moses had some failure in his life. Moses made God mad to start with. God's dealing with him, trying to call him to go to down into Egypt. Moses arguing with God. You never get anywhere arguing with God. Brother, you never get anywhere arguing with God. Amen. You always come out on the losing end of the stick. But God said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. I believe that rebuking comes. Sometimes God just rebukes you. By the way, you that have daughters especially, you know a girl's different than a boy. Now, a little old rough boy, you just got to look at him and say, hey, Johnny, sit down over there. Little old girl, you can look at a little girl wrong, she'll start crying. You see, God knows how to help us. Some people, you don't have to use excessive force. Some people, God don't have to threaten with putting them in the graveyard. God can just rebuke them and they repent. Some folk are going to rebel on God to the day they die. I know a man. This man said that the Lord called him to preach. And I got some things to say to you. If the Lord's called you to preach, get at it. And if the Lord ain't called you, get out of it. Amen. That's right. If you, I don't care if you've been trying to preach 37 years. If you feel like the Lord, if you know the Lord ain't in you preaching, get out of it. If you started for some reason besides the call of God, get out of it. Amen. I think one fella said God quit calling preachers, said he had too many volunteers. Well, God ain't quit calling preachers, but he sure does have a lot of volunteers today, I believe. Amen. I believe preaching's got to be called of God. But let me get back on my subject and say this to you. Amen. I know where there was a man, and this man refused to preach the Word of God. He used excuses. He would not preach. And I talked to this man, tried to talk to him, and he said to me one day, he said, let me tell you something. He said, you live your life, and I'll live mine. Now, brother, on the surface, that looked good. That man went and enjoyed his life. He paid for it. God beat him all the way, chastened him all the way. And when that man died, he died one of the most horrible deaths you ever seen in your life. Now listen, I don't care what you say. You say, well, God's too good to do anybody like that. It's in the Bible. And I believe many people have died with cancer because they've God. Hold on a minute. I'm not saying everybody's got cancers on the chastening hand of God. Job's three friends tried that trick. There are many a good saints that suffer. There's a difference in chastening and suffering, and you must be spiritual and discern the difference. You've got to be spiritual and discern the difference. Amen. But here's the deal. There's a difference between chastening and suffering, and you got to discern that. You got to discern that in somebody's life and pray. And by the way, if you're the person going through it, pray about it. And see if you're suffering or see if you're chastening. The Holy Spirit will let you know. Every time God's ever chastened me, God's let me know why. God loves you. God wants to chasten you. Why? So that you'll have the peaceable fruit of righteousness. God loved the church of Laodicea. Now what you forget is we have preachers get up and boy, they preach about the church of Laodicea and man, they lay those people out. Wait a minute. Hold on a minute. God loved that church. God wanted repentance out of that church. You know, some preachers preach so hard and hateful, it acts like to me they don't want anybody to repent. Now, Jonah was that way. I mean, boy, Jonah was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Amen? I mean, he goes down there to Nineveh, and boy, he lets her go. He tells them what God told him. He's expecting the fire to fall out of the sky. He knew it wouldn't. He said, I knew thou wert a gracious God. And God repented of that. Amen? And Jonah got mad about it. We shouldn't get mad when folk get right. We ought to want people to get right. Listen, friend, I may come on the radio and I may seem a little hard to you, but we spend thousands of dollars every year. I have to raise a lot of money to be on the radio. I don't like to do it. I'm not on the radio for people's money, but I have to have the money to, I have to have money to pay the bills. I have to get the gospel out. But one of my goals is to help you if you're struggling and you're out there in sin. Now listen, I can't solve your problems, but you can get right with God. The first thing you do is turn your life over to Jesus Christ and get back in the church. You say, preacher, I'll clean up first. No. You turn it all over to God and then you clean up. People try to do it in reverse. They try to clean up and then get back to God. No, sir. Now I want to tell you something. If you're saved, I want you to listen to me. Contrary to what some of the brethren may say, you may never, ever be able to do again what you would have done. Amen? You miss the will of God, you're going to pay for it. I was called to a little country church early in my ministry. I walked out of that little country church, I missed the will of God, I didn't understand, I didn't know, and I paid for that. And it seemed like in later years, I paid for that more than I did in early years of leaving that church. I will never be able to, unless God miraculously, I'd never be able to go back now and undo that. But let me say this to you. Let me say this to you, that I've got to go forward and do what I can do. David never got back where he was with God. Never did. He was a man after God's own heart. He never got back. But he repented and he got right. God's call to the church of Laodicea is be zealous and repent. Somebody said, well, it's just the day we're living in. Well, you're forgetting something. It is the day we're living in, but God still calls men to repentance. By the way, God calls saved people to repentance. Sometimes I had a letter from a man years ago. Wrote me a letter, middle-aged fella. He said that he wanted to get right with God. He wanted to raise his grandchildren. I don't know what his situation was. But I hope the man meant business. I believe he did. I have no reason to doubt this man. And I believe he got right with God and raised his children for the glory of God, his grandchildren. Let me say this to you, friend. Chastisement is not pleasant, as the Bible says. But God commands it. God wants us to repent. Amen. And so chastisement, again, is for you to be to partake in God's holiness. Chastisement yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. I started this thought a minute ago, and maybe I got sidetracked, but Israel would serve idol gods. And they had one king, and he'd get right, another king would go wrong, another king, whatever. And you know God had to take them all the way to Babylon. But did you ever notice when those that came up from Babylon in the books of Ezra and in the book of Nehemiah, they did not, for the most part, serve strange gods. In Jesus' day, idol gods was not the issue. The Jews became very Pharisaical, and they became very traditional. But idleness was not something that they clinged to. God had to take them all the way to Babylon. Where would God have to take you to get rid of your sin? There's some of you right now, you're hung on pornography. You say, preacher, how in the world do I quit? Stop. Amen. Stop watching it. Stop listening. Stop. Whatever you're doing, stop. There's some of you, you're hung on drugs. What do you do? What do I do, preacher? Stop. There's some of you hung on alcohol. What do I do, preacher? Stop. Amen. I know where there's saved people that's gotten, now some of you ain't going to believe this, but I know where there's saved people that's gotten mixed up. And they've had to go to prison and serve time for their sins that they committed. Listen, just because you're saved, don't, oh, but they're really saved. No. Sometimes you can be saved and get mixed up, amen? I mean, listen, Demas was a saved man. He got mixed up. Did you know Lot was a saved man? Now, you may not believe that, but he was. Lot lived a terrible life. His name meant hidden. He lived a terrible life. Lot will have no rewards at the judgment seat. Lot's an embarrassment to Abraham. Lot's an embarrassment to the family. Lot's an embarrassment to his own family. He went down there. Remember, he tried to win them to the Lord. And the Bible said he seemed as one at mock. Do you remember that? But Lot's going to be there with no rewards, no anything. Listen, there's going to be some people stand before God. You're going empty-handed, friend. Now listen, you need to turn your life around before the wages of sin is death. God's getting ready to kill some of you probably if you don't get right. God could be. God will bury you. Say, preacher, I'll do what I want to do, and I'll say what I want to say. God will bury you too. You better leave your hands off the church. You better leave your hands off the man of God. You better leave your hands off the Bible. I saw an article one day of a man that had wrote one of these new versions of the Bible. And this man was begging people not to read it. He said, I'm in trouble with God over it. Don't read it. Let me say this to you, friend. Listen, God will have his way, for our God is a consuming fire. And I'm going to tell you, preachers all over this country now are wondering why people don't live any better than they do in the churches. Now, I have that all the time. Well, you know, but just can't get people to come to church. Can't get people to... And let me tell you why, preachers. Now, I love you. I say this, God knows. I want to say this in love. But you know why? Because you're not preaching the chastening of God. They're not afraid of anything. They're not afraid to lay out and go to the ball game. Listen, I'd be afraid God would kill me in a car accident before I got home if I went to the ball game on Sunday and didn't go to church. That's how much I fear God. Oh, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of God. Well, you're just living on mercy is what you are. I wouldn't get in a river and put my boat in on Sunday. I'd be afraid God would sink that thing. Amen. Sunday's the Lord's day. It's not a day to be fishing and boating. No. I wouldn't put my... No. You say, preacher, that's under the law. No. No, 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 no. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He didn't say I was out on my boat. No. You see, friend, listen, we need to get back to fearing God in our country. The doctrine of chastisement. And a lot of that is because people don't fear God. Well, I'm going to stop with that doctrine right there. Amen. Some of you are glad I'm off of that. That is not a very pleasant subject, is it? the doctrine of chastisement. But I hope I preached that in love. Now, I'm going to move to another doctrine. Titus, Paul told Titus in Titus chapter number 2, verse 1, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Now, I'm going to move into another doctrine here. I don't know that I'll have time to finish this one, but I'm going to give it my all. I want to move into the doctrine of Satan. The doctrine of Satan. Now, I want to say this to you. Satan and Jesus are not brothers. I want you to understand that. Satan is not everything bad and God everything good and they're brothers. No. Now, Satan is everything bad, but he's not everything good. Now, when we deal with the doctrine of Satan, I want to say there's a real devil out there. And the devil is your adversary. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He's got many attributes. Just like God has many, but Satan has a few. Satan don't have as many attributes as God does. Now, Satan works in different ways, and you need to be careful, and you need to understand how the devil works. Amen. I don't even like to preach on the devil. But the Bible said, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible talking to the Christian, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And that goes right along with what we just said. The devil, even though you're saved, he's seeking to destroy you. You see, your body and your flesh did not get saved. And the devil's destroyed some Christians' bodies, destroyed their minds, he destroyed them. Why, brother, the devil's destroyed homes. I'm talking to people right now, your home's broke all to pieces. And all it is the devil. She got down on the job, found somebody else, and ran, left you and the kids. He got down on the job, and found somebody else, and married somebody 20 years younger than him. Busted the home, ruined the home. What do you do, preacher? It's just the devil. Brother, the devil is raging. I'll tell you what it is. It's a lack of prayer and fasting in our day. And the enemy's come in, brother. The enemy has come into our land. The enemy's invaded America. The devil's invaded us. We're living in a day of demons and devils. And you didn't get that out of some picture. Now, let me tell you, the devil's very smart. You see, the devil's invented all these video games and all these. Now, I'm not saying all games are the devil, but he's invented a lot of this stuff, these dark games and all these dark TV programs and TV shows. And the devil and people sit and our homes are filled. I mean, if Lester Roloff could come back today, Lester Roloff would die with a heart attack. He'd die with a heart attack before he ever got started. And I'll tell you why he would. Because Lester Olof preached against television, and rightfully so. I'm not against him preaching against television. But if Roloff could see the garbage that's on there today that's magnified itself like 20 times since he died 43 years ago, Roloff would have a heart attack and die probably. He'd just say, God, get me back out of here. But let me say this to you today. It's got a lot worse since Roloff's day. And nobody's preaching against it. I mean, listen, preachers sit now and watch R-rated movies. And you wonder why your home is splitting up. My friend, listen to me. A preacher's got no business. We used to preach against going to the movies, and I still preach against it. A preacher's got no business in the movie theater. You got no business there. And I'll tell you why. Because when you come out of that thing, what if they got an R-rated movie posted up there, and you come out the door, and somebody sees you coming out the door, they'll never believe you watched the kids' movie. Amen. And a lot of them don't. Amen. But nowadays, people sit in their home. They pipe that garbage in their home. A lot of preachers are dirty-minded. Amen. And they talk dirty and they act dirty. Listen, brother, we're living in a day, and the devil is just playing with the church. Preachers today, people today, make fun of prayer and fasting. Listen, we need to get back a hold of God. You want revival? Lay the golf club down and get on your knees. You want revival? Park the fishing boat and let's fast a while. I'm serious. I'm telling you what'll help you. I pray for revival. And I'm not God's gift to revival. I'll tell you that right now. God probably won't even send revival through me at all. It'll probably be somebody a whole lot greater and closer to God than me. But every week of my life, I bow my head and I try to pray for revival. I want to say I love you, men of God. Some of you think I don't love you. Say, boy, preacher, you're rough on preachers. Let me tell you something. I'm rough on preachers because we need somebody to be rough on us. Amen. I'm only rough because God said to me that I'm not doing it intentionally. But let me tell you something. You men don't know how many of you men I pray for every week of my life. And I'll say this. Some of you men don't even know you're on my prayer list. And I'm going to pray for you. And you say, well, what do you pray for? So I pray God bless you. I pray God help you. I want God to strengthen your churches. I want every church to have somebody saved Sunday. My friend, we're in this thing together. But we better realize there's a devil out there. He's wanting your home. He's wanting your marriage. He's wanting your young people. And I want to tell you, mamas and daddies, something. I'm going to be blunt and I'm going to be straight and I'm going to be plain with you. The Bible said, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. But taking your kids to church one time a week, that ain't getting it, and you ain't raising your kid for God, and they probably won't even stay in church. You say, but I take them to all the youth meetings, and I take them this and that. Listen, the Bible wants them under preaching. Young people need some preaching in our day. They need some preaching. If we want our young people to carry the church of tomorrow on, hadn't we better be teaching them the old-time ways of God? Amen. Amen. You say, preacher, church is a place where they come and play and have a good time. Church is not a place to play and have a good time. Church is a place to meet with God. Amen. You'll have a good time if you're saved to meet with God. By the way, when I was 11, 12 years old, I didn't want to come to church to play basketball. I come to church and I got in the Spirit and testified and praised the Lord. Amen. I said, you say, well, you're different. No, I'm just saved. If every other young person say, they'll want to testify too. Amen. Listen, listen. I want to tell you, the devil's after you. The devil's after this nation, friend. Did you know that? Brother, I'll be talking about the devil. I think we'll continue this on the next message probably. Let me tell you, the devil's after America, brother. While we're living in a land, brother, of corruptness and sin on every corner, why, gambling's on every corner now. Do you know that? Why, brother, you can't watch a baseball game now without them betting on it. Why, brother, did you know that years ago, Pete Rose was banned from baseball for gambling on the game? Well, nowadays, amen, everybody can do it. Let me tell you something. You can just bet on football. You can bet on all this stuff. And let me tell you something. That's the devil moved in. You got liquor by the drink in every corner. By the way, you do know it's a sin for a Christian to drink liquor and wine, right? You know it's a sin for the born-again believer to be down at the winery. Y'all do know that, right? It's not in the Bible. Amen. You say, but Jesus turned the water into wine. You better read your Bible. He did, but it wasn't fermented wine. Jesus never got anybody drunk. Jesus wasn't a hypocrite. Jesus didn't contradict himself. I know some of this is a little hard, but I tell you what, this is so foreign to what you hear in church nowadays. But listen, as Vance Havner said, if we ever got normal, we'd never be normal. We need this kind of preaching. This is the sound doctrine that'll help us. Now, I'll tell you something before y'all get mad at me. Wasn't we better off before we took church groups and took tours through the winery? Wasn't we better off before we put liquor by the drink in? Wasn't we better off before our states okayed lotteries and gambling? Our state okayed a lottery in the early 2000s. We fit it, and they okayed it. Hey, what? But let me tell you, are we better off? The answer is no. Is crime down now? No. Somebody said, if we can just get their guns, crime will go. No, you get the guns, crime will go up. You get the guns and the criminals along this country because they'll get their guns anyway. Let me tell you something, brother. The way to solve crime is to get people saved. You see, when you get born again, but the devil's after our nation. Did you know that? Why, brother, the devil's just about got our nation. Nowadays, I mean, every year statistics, and I'm not much on statistics, you know that. But since the 1970s, somebody gave a statistic the other day of how the churches had fell off since the 1970s. People had even claimed to be anything in our country. You know what people want today? They want a godless society. They want a godless world. They don't want you in the Christmas parades. You ought to read the things I read. My wife reads them to me just about every month. And preachers are under, but one preacher got in trouble not long ago legally for handing out tracts in a Christmas parade. They don't want you at their community events. They don't want you in their schools. Why? They want a godless society. I saw something the other day that made me have chills and double chills. I saw an ad the other day, and they were talking about a godless society, and at the end of that ad, that man said, I'm not afraid to go to hell. And he was making fun of hell. I had to roll that back and watch it again. I told my wife, I said, what's this? It run chills down my spine. Let me tell you something. 50 years ago, a man would never have stood up in this country. A man would never have stood up in this country and said, I'm not afraid to go to hell. You better be afraid to go to hell, friend. Well, look at all the garbage. Let me tell you something. Amen. We should never sit in our homes and watch R-rated movies and garbage. Amen. And I thank God. Amen. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to sit in my home and watch that garbage. Amen. No, sir. And you shouldn't either. You shouldn't either. Amen. I mean, the devil's ruined marriage. You know, the devil put those soap operas on the air in the 1960s, 70s, 80s. Why, people just live for that. You know, the soap operas are about to go off now. You know the reason why they're about to go off, right? They've served their purpose. Why, brother, everybody's got a career now. Let me say this to you. I've got nothing wrong with women working. I think women ought to work. And I don't think any woman ought to just lay at the house and do nothing. Amen. No, sir. I think women, if you're privileged to stay at home, I think you ought to raise your children. I think you ought to live for God and do the best you can. But I'll say this to you. I wouldn't put my wife down there working with 40 men. No. Brother, let me tell you something. Amen. We have destroyed marriage in the home in this country. Amen. And the devil's done it. Now, you don't like that, but the devil's done it. Who's done that? Our adversary, the devil. The Bible said, amen. Listen, well, by the way, I'm going to go ahead and say this. Some of y'all ain't going to like it, but I'm going to say, now, can I tell you, I love you. And if you've gotten mad at this message, I don't think you can point out one thing in this message I've said that's been mean. I think it's just been Bible. But let me tell you something. The devil hates everything you stand for. Do you know the devil hates your Bible? That's why he's got different versions of it. Do you know the devil hates your church? Why, the devil hates your preacher if he's living for God. The devil hates the Christian that is walking with God. The devil hates the ministry that is serving God. The devil hates the radio station that's putting out the gospel just this year. I'm not giving the devil glory. He has fit me up one side and down the other. I have never had battles like I've had with the devil this year. Brother, if I'd had these battles in my early... I thought that battle I had in 1982 when I started doubt. I was already saved, but I got to doubting my salvation. I thought that was the biggest thing I went through in my life. But I tell you, brother, that was peanuts compared to what I've been through in the last year. And I tell you, the devil's tried to make me quit every way he could. The devil's tried to stop me every way he could. Amen. I've had to plead the blood. I've had to pray. I've cried. I mean, I've begged God. Let me tell you something. God seems to have delivered. But I'm going to tell you, the devil's still there to make your life. If you think you're going to live for God and everything's going to go off just real easy, well, you better think that again. You know, the late Stinnett Ballou said something. I heard him on the radio the other day. Boy, he was such a great Bible preacher. Oh, I miss that dear man of God. I told him one day, I said, Dr. Ballou, you sure do know your Bible. He looked at me and he said, shouldn't everybody? But Dr. Ballou said the other day, he said, do you really think you're going to do something for God? And the devil's going to say, okay, well, that's fine. Congratulations. The devil's not going to say that. The devil's going to fight you every can. Let me close with this verse and I'll have to pick this doctrine up on the next one. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And we're gonna note some things about the devil next time. I got in this rambled this time, but we're gonna note some things about the devil. Brother, he's our adversary. My enemy's not the church down the street. And this is what I want to say to you. I said I was gonna say it, and this is what I'm gonna say. For the last 40 years, while we've sat by and we've split and splintered churches and we've let Deacon Know-It-All and Sister Wigglejaw run the churches, and we've had some preachers in that didn't know what they were doing that destroyed the churches, and we've fit and we've fussed and we've split and we've splintered, and while we have done that, brother, and the devil's gotten our churches, that the adversary has creeped in and just about took this country. Brother, while we're splitting hairs over this and that and the other thing, the contemporary movement has just about took our young people. Listen. I'm not going to compromise on what this Bible says. Amen. I'm still King James. I'm still against sin. I'm still preaching the Bible. I still believe be saved by grace. If it's sin, I'm against it. If it's right, I'm for it. Now, I believe in preaching in the right way. I believe in trying to help people in the right way. But I'll tell you something, brother. We've got a battle on our hands. And my battle is not with you, dear pastor. My battle is, now you say, boy, you sure was rough on the preachers today. I'm still not mad at you. I hope you're not mad at me. My battle is not with the church down the street. I'm not going to spend time arguing doctrine with somebody. I'll give you an illustration. I'm not going to spend time arguing Genesis chapter number 6 about the sons of God and the daughters of men. I'm not going to spend 3 days going back and forth with you on social media about what that means. I don't have time. There's a world going to help. Roloff said this. He said it's too late to debate. And it's too cold not to be bold. Amen. Brother, I'm not going to debate with you. I want to preach the Bible. And while we have sat around and debated, while we've had these theological Bible discussions in our Bible college, all these young preachers want to do now is debate. They come out, well, I want to debate. I want to debate. I'm not debating anybody about anything. I'll let the Bible stand where it is. Amen. You're not going to change my mind on what I believe. I've come too far now. You say, preacher, are you narrow-minded so that a flea could sit on the end of my nose and kick both eyeballs at the same time? Amen. I'm narrow-minded. But let me tell you something. When it comes to the Bible, I know what I believe. But let me tell you, while we've done all that fussing and fighting, the devil slipped in. Brother, let's start fighting the devil. You got to do it God's way. God laid a plan out in the Bible for you to fight the devil. But you just don't fight each other. I wanted to fight so bad in the flesh this year. Oh, I wanted to fight. I had some people. I mean, I had some attorneys and things it looked like. And the Holy Ghost said, you ain't going to have to do that. He said, don't do that. The Lord said, don't do that. Oh, listen, it's better when you don't have to do that. Amen, amen, amen. I don't want to fight people. I want to love people. We fight the devil, not each other, friend. You're not my enemy. The devil is. Well, I get back. Now, I hope these messages are a blessing. I hope they're not a hurt to you. Our Heavenly Father, I love you. Thank you for letting me preach. I didn't do my best today. And I'm sorry I failed you, Lord. Lord, will you help me? I don't want to make nobody mad. I want to preach in love, and I hope I have. But, Lord, I just don't feel like I've done my best today. Save that sinner this nearest hell. In Jesus' name, amen.